God, you say you make all things new. And some things have grown old. Some things in our lives have grown old and we're tired of them. So please lead us, especially around those things. Right, will you renew them or do we need to discard them and seek something else? Guide us, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once I was doing a walkthrough in a church with the fire inspector. It's a regular thing. Someone comes from the fire department and looks at your exit signs and looks at your aisles and exit doors and checks the fire extinguishers. Pretty basic, right? And one door had one of those, they're called panic bars, right? There's a push on the inside. And that door, I was a little concerned because that door was kind of sticky. Like it took kind of a shoulder to open it. And he didn't say a word. I said, is that door okay? He goes, hey, if there's a fire in a church or any building and people hit this panic bar, they're going to be out no problem. Like a little sticky door is not a problem. And so the way out, the way in, here it's very clearly defined, right? There's three aisles, there's three options, there's two exit doors, and I feel like we'll be taking off shortly and taxiing to the runway. These directions are clear. God gives us clear directions, and sometimes we want something new just for innovation's sake. I mean, it's kind of silly here. We have three aisles. We don't need another aisle, but you know what I'm saying. Things that work perfectly well, like my hockey skates, we kind of grow tired of them. Sometimes we go tired with people and relationships. It's a human experience. It's interesting that the people came to Samuel, who had been, for all we know, extremely faithful in his service to God. Even from a small boy, he was dedicated by his mother in the Lord's service. And they said, you are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. You are old and smoky. People had kind of gotten tired of Samuel and his leadership. We can get tired of ways of doing things. We can get tired of things, of people, of relationships. What do? Do we just reject them? As it seems Israel did, they wanted novelty. Perhaps someone had gone away and seen a foreign king in procession with trumpets and horses and chariots and said, wow. You wouldn't believe what these other countries have. Interesting, beautiful, powerful. And we sort of romanticize this new thing that we don't yet have, but we are sort of, restless with what we do have. Are you with me here? It could be anything, couldn't it? Could be a car, could be your house, could be your kitchen decor. It could be anything. And if we focus on those things, they seem to amplify, at least they do in my life. Like the skates. Someone made the comment, your skates look a little big. And I started looking at them, and they were. They were hand-me-downs. They were my brother's skates. He didn't even play hockey. So they had no cool factor at all. And I remember I took the insole out of those skates, and I put my foot on the insole, and there was like this much space in front of the toe. But the refrain I always got from my parents was, you're young. You're growing. You'll grow into them. Any younger siblings out there, any younger children or youngest children, have heard that time and time again. What, you can't get your feet on the pedals of your brother's bike? You'll grow into it. And until that time, it's dangerous, right? We were subjected to you get my point. And the more I focused on those skates, the less acceptable they were, and I was sure that with new skates I could skate faster, corner more quickly, and be an all-around better hockey player. So too with those who came to Samuel. This new king that we want, they're going to go out and fight our battles for us. Since when did that ever happen? Without conscripting an army of which you would likely be a member, So we tend to romanticize that thing, that person, that activity that's going to make all the difference in our lives. And that can be an incredible distraction and be incredibly destructive. I find it so interesting that in the first reading, the reading from the first book of Samuel, God relents, doesn't he? Even though they are rejecting him, he allows them to name Saul king. And so God allows us to move forward in these really futile endeavors, whether it's getting a pair of skates I didn't need or getting out of a relationship that we've grown tired with. He allows us to do these things, and then we experience the consequence, the negative consequence. And we bear that. That's the cost. And God told Samuel, let them know that asking for a king is going to come with a price. Your children will be in their service. Your lands will be taxed by them. It's going to be very, very different and not as rosy as you think it will be. We want to be like other nations, that they may govern over us, this king, and go out before us and fight our battles. They became determined. And sometimes I think all of us probably can think of a time when we have become determined to pursue that thing, that person that we've become fixated upon. Well, if that's the case this morning, take a deep breath and say, hold it, hold everything. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm going to turn to the Lord. I'm going to ask God about this. I'm not going to be like others. I'm going to follow God's leading. I'm not going to make a new aisle through the pews. I'm going to take the established ways and ask God to make me faithful in those ways. I'm going to just quiet everything down and simplify so that I can hear the voice of the Lord through scripture, through prayer, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the pressure becomes even greater, and I believe that's what the gospel reading speaks of. It speaks of many things, but it speaks of even family pressure wanting you to conform to what they deem as appropriate behavior. Has anyone had that in your family? You're pursuing a certain path, and family says, Now, it might in fact be the wrong path, but oftentimes it's just a new path that the family is not used to yet. Jesus, in this crush of ministry, I believe his family was genuinely concerned for his well-being. They couldn't even eat. The need was so great that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. And when Jesus' family heard it, they went out to restrain Jesus. You're getting a little bit overboard here, son, brother. You need to consider your own needs and take care of yourself. Others were saying, he's gone out of his mind. And the religious leaders were saying, he's possessed by a demon. Was this just a regular day in the life of Jesus? Perhaps it was. Family pressure, religious establishment pressure, and popular pressure. Jesus gives a parable, tries to teach those who came and anyone who had ears to listen that what they were saying was absolutely ridiculous. And then he drew a line between the family in their best interest, trying to care for him, but it wasn't in Jesus' best interest. The crowd even said, hey, Jesus, your mother and brothers, they're outside, they can't get in, they're trying to get in touch with you. No texting, no cell phones. They were trying to get in touch with Jesus in the crush of this crowd. And Jesus said to the crowd, who are my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my mother? those who may want the best for me, but aren't in step with God's plan for me, will not restrain me. I will not allow myself even to be restrained by my family, because he was following God's call. People perhaps had grown old with Jesus teaching this rabbi. We don't know. He'd only had a 3-year public ministry, so that's a little bit hard to believe. But you just wonder, as they had sort of grown old with Samuel, wanted something different, something new. He said, "Here are my mother and my brothers," he said. "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and mother and sister." So there's this way before us. It's not always as clear as these three aisles. It's not always as clearly marked as the exit doors. But that is this journey of faith, and we've been given one another to discern the way. Because we look at not what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For we see that what is seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. And so this journey is a challenge. No one would say it's easy. And God's given us one another as brothers and sisters, as mothers, as grandmothers, this community that God's formed that we didn't choose, to help us discern the way of the Lord very practically, very concretely, very powerfully. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, like those ice skates, those hockey skates, they couldn't hold a shine anymore. I used to shine my skates. Do you believe that? I used to shine them down on the workbench. I wanted them to look good. But even they lose their luster. And rather than focus on those and focus on how shiny the skates are of those around me, wisdom says, this is temporary and is going to go into decline. Let's keep our eyes fixed on what is eternal, that will bear the weight of eternal glory beyond measure. And so we need one another, because I need you to point out the way, and there may be a time when you need me to point out the way, when it's not so easy to discern. We know that all that glitters is not gold, and we know what it's like to have what we thought was bring satisfaction, and it doesn't bring satisfaction at all. Like me in the basement with my newly laced up skates, crying because I just knew that this wasn't what I needed. May God lead us as a church, as families, and individuals in this journey of faith.